Amen. Hey, listen, I want to say this, and I don't ever say this about, you know, a message that I'm going to preach, because that what I'm going to say is going to seem like really self-serving, right? So I wouldn't say it unless I meant it, but I truly believe that what I'm going to talk about today, if you would grab hold of this, if you would grab hold of this and apply it to whatever area of your life that it needs to be applied. Some of you might need the whole thing. Some of you might just need a word. I don't know where you're at and what you need specifically. But I truly believe that what I'm talking about today is going to be powerful in your life. And I don't mean that because I put it together. I don't mean it because God's speaking through me. I don't mean it. What I mean is really I'm going to be talking about something that I've applied in my own life, and I've seen the fruit of it. I've seen it work. So I know it works. It's almost like I shop with reviews. Like if I'm going to buy something on Amazon, I want to know what the review is. Y'all read reviews before you buy stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I read reviews because I've made mistakes without reading reviews and ordered stuff. Well, this is the review. This is good. All right? This is good. That's the review, so you know it's good. But I just want to jump into Scripture this morning. In Psalms chapter 91, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." So I want to make a statement. We're going to read a few more verses in there, but I want to make this statement. He who dwells in the shelter or dwells in the protection of the Most High is within the shadow of the Almighty. This is talking about a proximity. This is talking about a closeness to God that we are able to have. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High or dwells in the protection of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2 says, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Now, some of y'all hunters might know what a fowler means, but it's more of an archaic term, but really a fowler, a hunter of birds. And I don't know if you've ever felt like something was just kind of hunting you down after you, trying to trip you up, trying to trap you. But he's saying you will be delivered from the snare of this fowler and from the deadly pestilence or plague. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes away at noonday. He's talking about protection. Protection and preservation that is available to us, but it's not available to everyone in this room. It's available to anyone who is within the shadow of the Almighty. And this is an important, this proximity that Scripture talks about is the first thing and the number one step and the thing that we've got to realize and draw close to God to be able to receive all these other things. Verse 7, he continues, says, "A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense or the reward of the wicked." Why? Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Why do you get this protection? Why do you get this and someone else doesn't? Why do we as believers get to walk in these things and claim these things and pray these things and believe that God is going to be there protecting us, putting his wings over us, being our fortress and protecting us from the fowler and from the destruction and all that the enemy has to throw at us? Because of our proximity to God. And this is what I'm saying that I realized in my life, applied in my life, and found out when I was close to God, I felt this, I knew this, I experienced this. When I wasn't close to God, it was the exact opposite. I want to show you, I got a picture that I want to show you this morning because it really illustrates what I'm trying to talk about. And I want to show you this picture. It's of me and my daughter. That's Zoe. Zoe, she's about 2 or 3 in that photo. And you can't see, but she's smiling. She's got a beautiful smile. She's playing with a little drumstick. And we're walking around the neighborhood. And it was in this moment I had to stop and take a picture, because it was in this moment when I really realized just a practical sense of what Psalm 91 really meant. So this is my daughter, and we're walking in the road. Now, the road is an area of danger. I mean, a child, a three-year-old, should never be walking in the road alone. Agreed? I mean, there's dangers. There's cars. There's stray animals, dogs, cat. Who knows? We don't live in the country, but we live next to woods. So there, I've seen snakes on the road. There's just nasty, gross things that I don't want her picking up, putting in her mouth. There are dangers in this road. And we're walking, and we're just having a great time walking around the neighborhood. And I realized she's walking in my shadow. My daughter is walking in my shadow right now. My daughter is close to me. My child is close enough to me that all those things I listed, they're not going to come near her. A dog, a stray dog, let a stray dog, I will kick that thing in the mouth so hard. She doesn't have to worry about that. A car backs out of a driveway, a car is going too fast. None of those things even matter. Even though they're there, even though they present a real danger and could cause real harm to her, she doesn't have a care in the world right now because she's right next to her father who is able to protect her. This is Psalm 91. This is what God is telling us. This is what he wants us, how he wants us to live our lives so closely to him that yes, all that stuff's going on. All those dangers exist. Everything's still happening, but we are so close to God that we don't have to even fear it. We don't even have to give thought to it. She's just twirling her little drumstick, singing some song, and I don't even know if she's making sense, but she's just loving life. And I think it's a perfect depiction of how we can live our lives when we choose to be close to God. We can have that protection when we are in his shadow, when we are in that proximity and close to him. Jesus also talks about having a close relationship with God. John chapter 10 and verse 1, these are the words of Jesus, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens." Jesus is saying it should be clear and obvious who the shepherd is. It should be extremely clear and obvious who the shepherd is. He's literally talking about sheep and shepherds and gates. And he's using this as an illustration, an example for us to look at. And talking about Jesus, it should be clear and obvious who our good shepherd is. We should know. There should be signs. It should be obvious. He says, listen, if you see somebody hopping a fence, you know they don't have a right to be there. But if you see them walking through the gate, if you see the gatekeeper opening the door, they have a right to be there. That is the shepherd. And he's saying it should be clear and obvious to you and I who the shepherd is, how the shepherd thinks, how the shepherd acts. He goes on to say, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. See, this is closeness. This is relationship. He knows them. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Listen to this, for they know his voice. They know the voice. As Jesus talks about us and talks about us, really he's painting the picture of us being those sheep and us having the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus. We are so close to him. Our relationship is so connected to him that we know his voice. We know his voice and we follow him. And in verse 5, he says, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. So he says, you know my voice and you follow me, but a stranger's voice you do not know. Why don't we know that? Why shouldn't we even know? He didn't say we hear it and we recognize that voice too. He says, we don't even know that voice. For they don't know the voice of the stranger. They don't know the voice of the stranger. I get asked this question a lot. How do I know the voice of God? Maybe you've asked that question. I know I've asked that question. Maybe someone has asked you that question. How do I know the voice of God? And it comes from a pure heart, a genuine heart. I mean, if you're following after God, you'd like to know God's voice. You'd like to know, how do I know that this is God speaking and not, you know, me. This is just me telling, working myself up, telling myself I should. How do I know the voice of God? There's no shortcut to this. I wish I had a simple answer. I wish I had a 1 + 1 = 2. If you do this and this, it equals this. And that next thing you know, now all of a sudden you just hear the voice of God and hear, and you can go, listen, you can go buy a 200-page book and spend 9 hours reading that book, or you can do what I'm about to say. There's no shortcut. You know the voice of God by being in proximity to God. You know the voice of God by spending time with God. You begin to know, you begin to understand, you begin to think like God, act like God. You begin to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. And really, in my opinion, it doesn't come down to a question of you asking me or you asking anyone else, how do I know I'm hearing the voice of God? How do I know God's leading me in this? If you would spend the time with God, I guarantee you, you will hear his voice. He said, they know my voice. The sheep know my voice. They don't know the stranger's voice. He says, they will know my voice. And I'm just telling you, there's no shortcut to it. There's no shortcut. There's no fast track. I would encourage you, if that's you and you're looking for that answer, if that's a question you've asked, I guarantee you, you spend time with the Father, you will begin to hear his voice. You will begin to know his voice, and you won't need me or anyone else to tell you how to hear the voice of God. Spend time with him. Have that proximity and that relationship with him, and you'll have that. You know, I've been training my kids since day one. I have 3 daughters, 9, 7, and 4, all girls. As y'all are communing with God, just pray for me. All girls. Teenage years are coming up. Pray for me. If y'all hear anything, you let me know. But why am I training them to hear my voice? I'm training them to hear their father's voice. And I'm training them to listen to their father's voice. This is one of the most important things that I want for my daughters. I spent years, my oldest, Ainsley, she's 9. She was just gave her life to God. She was baptized. And this girl loves God. I mean, loves God. She's read about 7 Bibles. Now, not the full one, but you know, the kid, like we worked her up, gave her, you know, the 5-page and then the 15-page, and then the pictures started disappearing. And she loves God, loves the Word of God. I spent years praying for her. Every day we would pray together. And I would pray, God, I pray that she would encounter your love. I pray that she would put her faith in your son, Jesus, for her salvation. That's what I pray. And I pray that she sleeps all night. That was my prayer for her, night after night after night. And then that happened. And I went, well, what I've been praying for has happened. What do I pray now? Well, I want her to hear the voice of God. I want my children to hear the voice of God, to hear the voice of their heavenly Father and follow him. So I pray that. I pray for them every night that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would hear the voice of God, that they would be led by God, that they would hear his voice, follow him, that they would receive his power and his wisdom and his knowledge, and they would be directed by him. That's my prayer for them. And I am teaching them by teaching them to listen to my voice. Now listen, this is a tough challenge. This is a daunting challenge, because I know if I'm going to teach them to listen to their father's voice, then my voice is going to have to sound something like God's, right? My voice is going to have to be full of strength, full of wisdom, full of power, full of humility, full of compassion, full of understanding, full of mercy, and full of love. And that is the voice that I want my children to hear from their father, because I know it's the voice that they will hear from their heavenly Father as he speaks to them and as he leads them and as they draw closer to God and they have their proximity and their relationship with God and they're in the shadow of God. I want them to already be trained. This is how a father speaks. This is how a father speaks to their child. And whenever you're close to God and God's speaking to you, this is how he's going to speak to you. And he's going to speak to you full of love. Jesus talks again about a closeness. And he says it this way, and this isn't a suggestion. He says it more as a statement, more as a command. He says, abide in me. He says, abide in me. Not as a suggestion, not as a good thought or an idea. John 15, verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. That's closeness. That's relationship. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified. This is an important statement. This is a very important statement that Jesus is making, that God is glorified by what he's about to say. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. God is glorified. God receives the glory whenever we bear much fruit, whenever we are bearing kingdom. God is the one that receives this glory, and we prove to be his disciples. So here's my challenge, and here's my question, and don't get mad at me. And you don't have to answer out loud, and you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to admit it to anyone but yourself, but don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. The question is, do you see this kind of fruit in your life? Do you see kingdom fruit in your life? Because he said, if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. If we are with him, if we are in close relationship with him, we are going to bear fruit. If you say, I don't really see that in my life, this is your answer. No one else's responsibility. This is your answer. Abide in him, and he abides in you, and his word abides in you, and your prayers become powerful, and fruit happens. Kingdom fruit happens in your life. So I want to challenge with that question this morning. Do you see this kind of fruit in your life? Go a little deeper. Do you see this kind of fruit in your kids' lives? This is one of those challenging questions that I ask myself, and that as my kids get older, I'm going to ask more and more. Do I see this kind of fruit in my kids' life? Am I after the fruit? No. But I'm after their relationship with God. And this is a judge for me to be able to tell, how close is my child to God? Is my child within the shadow of the Almighty? Do they get to experience that shelter and that protection? Because if they are abiding with him, if they are connected to Jesus, if the word of God is in them, I am going to see this fruit in their life. I'm going to see kingdom fruit happening in their life. If the answer is no to any of that, for you, for your kids, your family, it's possible. It may be possible that we're spending too much time listening to the voice of the stranger. Listening to the voice of the stranger. The voice that we're not even supposed to know. Maybe if you're not seeing fruit in your kids' lives, maybe they're spending too much time listening to the voice of a stranger. What do I mean? Well, the voice of culture. The voice that culture has, the ideas, the plans, the way culture says they should live their life. And really what I'm saying is the voice of the Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist. The voice that has gotten into this culture and attacked some of the most valuable and most important things of our lives: marriage, family, children. The culture and then this voice and this spirit is everywhere in everything that we watch, we hear, we listen to, the schools they go to. It's everywhere, and it's pulling them. And I would say this, to just kind of put an umbrella to that statement. I would say that the voice of that spirit is anything that is pulling you, pulling your kids, pulling your wife, your husband, pulling your family out from that shadow of God. Anything that is pulling you out, pulling you away from that relationship, is tied to this spirit. And if we're not careful, we can become too comfortable with this. Because it's so subtle. It's so subtle. It's so tricky. It's so tricky that it would just, it doesn't come out blasting. It doesn't come out yelling. It doesn't come out mad. It's just so subtle to be able to just throw those little subtle things in there in the TV shows that make the dads look stupid. The little funny ha-has that, no, the dad can't get anything right. Oh, the kids are genius. Kids got everything right. Mom's awesome, but the dad is a bumbling idiot. Why? Why is this important? Why does this matter? Because God set up marriage. God established marriage. This was his idea. The structure of the home was his idea. The authority of the home was his idea. So anything that comes against the word of God is anti-Jesus. Jesus himself, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Anything that comes against what God teaches is anti-Christ. But it's subtle. It's subtle in social media, and it's subtle in music, and it's subtle in movies. It's so subtle that it'll just lull us to sleep so that we become comfortable hearing this voice, the voice that we shouldn't even know. I'll give you this example with marriage. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 31 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church." Marriage was given to us as an example of Christ and the church. And anything that comes against, anything that says God's wrong, anything that says God, you should do it another way other than God, this is anti-Christ. And this is running, listen, in this generation that's coming up under us, this idea is running rampant. There's 50 different ways that you can do things, but there's one where God says, this is the holy way, this is the pure way, this is the way that I've established, I've set up, and said, this points you to Jesus. Of course, the spirit of the Antichrist wants you to think differently, wants you to operate, wants you to hear that voice and become comfortable with that voice. The spirit of the Antichrist wants your kids to become comfortable hearing just a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time, just a little bit on social media today, just a little bit tomorrow, just a little bit in this music, just a little bit tomorrow. Subtle over time. He's playing a long game. He has plenty of time. And it's going to be subtle. There are two spirits. There's two spirits at work, and I would say it this way. There are two voices at work in our lives, in our families' lives, in our kids' lives. There's two voices at work all the time, and we are going to be led by one of them. We're going to be led by one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." See, this is the first voice. There is a spirit of this world. If you didn't realize that this morning, it's absolutely true. God said it, I believe it. There is a spirit of this world, and it is in full operation in this world. "But the spirit who is from God." See, we didn't receive the spirit from the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Two voices. There's the spirit of the world, and there's the spirit that God gives us so that we can have understanding, so that we can understand the things that God gives us by the Spirit, so that we can understand spiritual things. And we are going to be led by one of them. I would say we're either being led by the Spirit of God on a daily basis, or we're being led by the spirit of the world away from God and away from that shadow and away from that protection day in and day out. We're being led one way or the other. The spirit of the world in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." The spiritual forces of evil? This is what our kids are facing? This is what our families are facing? This is what our spouses are facing? Spiritual forces of evil that are at work day in and day out. This is why I want to take it serious. This is why I want to take it serious for my own life. This is why I want to take it serious for my kids' life. This is why I want to know, are they bearing fruit? Are they bearing kingdom fruit in their life? If not, I know they have spiritual forces of evil coming against them, attacking their life, presenting another way, presenting another option, presenting another way of life to them constantly. And what is it for? To draw them away from God, to draw them away from the shadow of God, to draw them away from that shelter and that protection. The Spirit from God, John 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. You know, that's a hot topic right now. That's a hot topic. What is truth? What is truth? Can there be multiple truths? Can you have a truth? Can I have a truth? It's okay if we all have a truth. This is one of the number one things facing this generation below us and the next generation. And I know that we're facing it too, all throughout culture. What is truth? Can there be a truth? I want you to know at youth camp, we hit this head on. We made it abundantly clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. No other ideas. It's his way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. His word is true. I'm telling you, we grabbed hold of that bull by the horns and didn't let go and didn't back down. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There it is again, that word dwells. He's talking about relationship. He's talking about proximity. Our God, the God that we serve, isn't some far off, distant God that says, here, good luck, figure it out. He says, no, I want to dwell with you. I want you to be so close to me that you are in my shadow. That's how close I want you to be. When we're walking down the street, you are in my shadow. You are in my protection. I want to be with you, near you. I want to dwell. I want my Spirit to dwell in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 13, this is an important part of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in our life, because there are things that we are not going to be able to understand and comprehend without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring all truth to us, would bring things to our remembrance, would help us to understand. Jesus said, he told his disciples it was better for him to leave so the Holy Spirit could come. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, and we impart this in words, listen to this, not taught by human wisdom. Can I just be honest? I am so over human wisdom. I have had it up to here with human wisdom that is this way one day, this way another, figuring this out. No, it's changed to this. No, we thought we had this. No, it's actually... I'm kind of fed up with it. But he says, these things are not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit of God, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. We need to know and understand this morning that there are spiritual truths that you will not be able to comprehend and understand without the Holy Spirit. You will not be able to. The world can't do it, and we can't do it. He said, words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth, an interpretation. We need understanding. We need it to be interpreted to us so that we have this understanding to those who are spiritual. In verse 14, he says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, or they are foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I would encourage anyone to seek after this. to seek after a close relationship with God, to seek after a relationship with God that is so close that you find yourself in his shadow, you find yourself in that protection and in that shelter, and you find yourself with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you, leading you, speaking to you, bringing truth and revelation, shining light into darkness, and guiding you and your home and your family and your kids. The natural person can't understand these things. Even as I'm talking, if you find yourself as you haven't given your life to God, you're not born again, and you're hearing some of these things, you go, hey, no worries. This is your answer. Enter into a relationship with God the Father. Draw close to him. Have his Holy Spirit dwell on the inside of you. And have these things come to light in your life. Talking about the unbeliever, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. You hear that? The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. As we look out in culture and we look out in society and we see these men and women running around and their man-made wisdom and making decisions that affect so many people, and they are not born again. They're not followers of Jesus. We need to understand the state in which they're in. Their minds have been blinded by Satan. This is the state in which they exist. That blinded the minds of the unbeliever to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And I would say this, the voices of blind people, the voices of people who have been blinded by Satan, cannot be louder than the voice that comes from the Spirit of God in our lives. We cannot allow that. I don't care what degree they have. I don't care what position they have. I don't care how long they've been studying, how long they've been working in it. None of that stuff matters. You're an unbeliever. You have been blinded by Satan. You are missing this truth. And we as the church should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should have the Holy Spirit guiding us, leading us into all truth and all wisdom so that we are the authority on our families and our home and our children. Because we hear God's word. We follow God's word. We're close to him. We are in proximity to him, and we are in his shadow. And we have his protection, and we have his wisdom, and we have his strength. Like I said, it's not that loud, scary voice. It's not the monster in the closet. It's those subtle little things. It's those little voices. It's those little things on phones. It's those little movies. And listen, I know it might sound like it, especially today, and I know the teenagers sometimes, they think I'm against phones and I'm against social media and I'm not against any of these things. I have all of these things. In and of themselves, phones aren't bad. They're neither good nor bad. They're in that neutral place. And how we determine to use them decides whether they are good or bad in our lives. Social media, the same way. One of the things I tell the teenagers all the time is you have to realize with your relationship with God, what is social media doing to your life? Is social media a voice that is drawing you closer to God, or is it a voice that's drawing you out of his shadow? What's happening there? So when I say this, this is for all of us to self-analyze. Believe me, I'm doing it. Believe me, I'm doing this myself. God, what are those things? Help me reveal these things. Open my eyes, open my spiritual eyes, open my heart to see and know. God, I don't want things drawing me out of your shadow, and I'm willing to lay those things down. So what do? I have four things to give you, four practical, simple steps to help. Identify, eliminate, replace, repeat. Identify, eliminate, replace, and repeat. Identify. What's pulling me away? I wonder if we'd be honest just with ourselves. What are those things that are pulling us away? What are those things that keep pulling and keep nagging and keep pulling us away and out of the shadow of God? What are those things? And you're going to be able to recognize them a whole lot better than your kids are. What are those things that are pulling your kids out of the shadow of God. What are those things? Let's just identify them. What are they? And let's be honest. What are those things in your life? It's going to be different for everyone. You're going to have something that I'm not going to have, and I'm going to have something that you're not going to have. But we all have those things that are just pulling. And some of them are good. They're just not God. We're not just talking about sins. I'm talking about anything. Anything that's pulling me out of that shadow of the Almighty. Let's identify those things. And let's eliminate them. What do I mean by eliminate? I like to eliminate things. I enjoy just chopping them off. Just let's, no, cold turkey, let's eliminate. Ainsley, my oldest, she's 9 now, but when she was probably about 3 or 4 years old, we drive out to pick her up. Her grandparents had been watching her, and me and my wife, Jamie, we drive out to pick her up, and it's supposed to be just a quick pickup. I pull up, Jamie runs in to get her, and I'm sitting there waiting, and they don't come out after a few minutes. So I go inside, and I walk inside, and immediately I realize something's wrong. Something is bad wrong. She's over there talking with her mom. They're trying to figure things out. And I look down, and Ainsley is red, welty, swollen, just a hot mess. And I realize in that moment, she's going into anaphylaxis. She is having an allergic reaction, and I don't have any Benadryl. I don't have an EpiPen. I don't have anything to help her right now. And I don't know how long this has been going on. So I very, not so calmly, told my wife, get in the car. I grabbed my child. I put her in the back seat, and we started driving. She was not buckled. No, she was not buckled. It didn't matter. We didn't have time to buckle. And I'm driving. We are about 15, 20 minutes away from the hospital. I've got my flashers on. If there's any police officers in here, you just... I was driving over 100 miles an hour down 28 West. I didn't care who got in my way. I didn't care if I saw any blue lights. It wasn't going to stop me. We're just going to have to figure that out later. Do what you will later. But I'm not stopping. My child's life is on the line. And if you've ever dealt, I've dealt, that's how I knew what it was, and no one else realized what it was. I'd faced anaphylaxis myself. And so I knew the symptom, and I knew what was happening. And so I'm flying, I'm running red lights. The laws no longer mattered. They didn't apply to me anymore in this moment and in this situation. And I finally make it to the emergency room at Cabrini. I pull up. I didn't park. There was no parking. I'm in an ambulance at this point. I pull right up to the front. I get out of the car. I grab my child. Car's still running. Someone can figure it out. Someone do something. I don't care. But my child is getting help. I didn't sign in. I didn't pull out my insurance card. No, I walked straight in, found the first nurse, and said, here's my child. She's going into anaphylactic shock. Do something. And it didn't matter who I upset. It didn't matter who I offended. It didn't matter what rules I broke. I'm going to save my child's life. And I know each and every one of us would do the exact same thing to save our child's physical life. Today, I'm talking about saving our child's spiritual life. We have got to be able, we've got to be willing to do anything and everything to eliminate anything and everything that is pulling ourselves and pulling our family and pulling our kids out of the shadow of God. And I don't care who it offends. I don't care who it upsets. I don't. I don't care. I do. I don't know how many times I can say it. I don't care. I'm going to do anything to eliminate those things. Sometimes the person that cares the most is the person you're trying to save the most. The person you're trying to save, your kid who is going to be mad and be upset. I don't care. I'm going to save your life. And then replace. Once you've identified those things and once you've eliminated those things, you are going to have to replace those things. Any time in my life where I have identified something and eliminated something, I've had to also replace it with God. I've had to replace it with his word. I've had to replace it with worship. I've had to replace it with podcasts and teaching it, and replace it with fellowship with other believers. Replace that time and spend time in the presence of God. Spend time with believers. You have to replace those things. Otherwise, it's just empty. It's just void, and anything can then come in and fill that spot. Identify, eliminate, and replace, and then repeat. Step four is repeat. This I have found out for my own life, for my kids' life, for my family, for people that I've interacted with. This is the fourth step. We have to repeat. We have to repeat this process because it's never ending. It does not stop. Satan doesn't quit. He doesn't take breaks. The spirit of this world doesn't get tired. He's not going to relent. He's not going to give up. He's like, oh, well, they got me on that one, so guess I'll move on. No, he's not. Identify, eliminate, replace, and repeat. And if we would do that, if we would apply this, and our heart's desire would be to be in the presence of God and be in that shadow of God and have his protection and see the fruit in our own lives, I believe not only will our families get stronger, not only will our personal relationships get stronger and our families get stronger, but the church, our church, One Life, the church as a whole will begin to get stronger, and we won't be deceived in these end times. We won't even know the voice of a stranger. We'll be so closely connected to God, so close to him that we will know his voice. See, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to operate in fear. We don't have to lead our families in fear. What if I miss it? What if I don't know? What if I don't? Like, and it's tough, especially for us men. I get it. Like, hey, we're called to be the leaders of our families, right? And that's, it feels like a lot of pressure sometimes. But we don't have to feel that pressure. We don't have to live in fear. We can know that we're hearing the voice of God because of our proximity to God, because we are abiding in his shadow, because we are close to him, and he is speaking, and he is leading. So I want to encourage you with this morning. Eliminate those voices of the stranger in your life. Eliminate those, and then help your kids, help your family, help your grandkids. Grandparents, still help your kids. We still need the voice of the older generation speaking. We need that. Eliminate them in your life. Eliminate them in your family's life. Let's draw close to God. Let's be in his shadow and be in his presence. Amen.